This is day six for the Grow Team subject on the church, where we're looking at six different illustrations of the church, six different examples of what the church is. And we've looked at the church as a body. We've looked at the fact the church is like fire. Yesterday, we looked at the fact that church is an army. Well, today, we're looking at the fact that the church is a house. We are his house. Ephesians 2:20 says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." We are, as some places describe, some parts of the Bible, a temple of God, the house, the place where God is. And we're all part of that. Like we've seen in the body, we've the hand and the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ears. We're all part of the one body. Well, in this one, we're all living bricks. We're all living stones. We're all put together to form one house. And the cornerstone, the chief part of that house that everything relies on, is Jesus himself. We are all built on the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, and we have trusted in him, and that he's our Redeemer, having taken us out of the world and made us his own and cleansed us and made us ready to be his family, to be his body, and to be his house. I want to read to you from another passage that talks about being a house. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. It says, "I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth." So Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy was left to be the leader of the church at Ephesus. And he, through the book of what we call 1 Timothy, and then this letter, six chapters, are instructions to Timothy on how to conduct himself, but also how the church is to conduct themselves. It is, some people think that any group together make a church. Well, we are all part of the church which is that universal, worldwide body of all believers. Anybody who follows Jesus is part of the church. But then God also speaks about churches, individual churches. In fact, in the book of Revelation, as we said, he wrote a book to seven churches. The churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, seven cities, and there was a church in each of those cities. So even though there is the universal church, there are also local churches, as we call them, and an individual church where a group of people, a group of Christians who are following Jesus and have become part of his church, they form a local church. Now, the difference between just a group of Christians being part of the universal church and a local church is that a local church is a household where God establishes his order and his structure for the running and the purpose of that house functioning effectively. See, a household is more than a building. You know that. If I say, come to our house and to our household, yes, there's a building, but the household is actually made up of our family. And a family is more than just a group of people living together in one house. See, you can go to a boarding house and there's a whole lot of people sleeping there, maybe even eating there, but they're really just doing their own thing in that house. Whereas a family is a united group of people that have come together, and they haven't even chosen to come together. Like children, you don't say, well, which family am I going to join? You're born into that family, and that family is your household. And in that, it's not just a group of people, but it's a group of people committed to each other, a group of people that love each other, but also a group of people that are working and living under the same group of instructions. Or what I'm thinking about is more in the terms of a family have a way of doing things. They have a way of behaving, and everybody needs to be in agreement in terms of living like that. In other words, becomes disconnected, and the family fight, and we don't get on, and we can't work together. But we have rules and regulations which are not to make it harsh and oppressive in our family, but to make it so that the family flow together and work together and encourage and build each other up to be who everybody's best in that family. When I was the children are young and we were teaching them how to behave, because when children come into this world, they just know a couple of things. They know they're hungry and they know they're tired or they know they're uncomfortable, and you've got to teach them and not only feed and care for them, but eventually train them up to say, hey, there's a whole lot more to life than just you getting fed or you getting clothed or you being made comfortable. You actually now have to become a part of this society. And the way that that starts is you become a part of a family. And as you get a little bit older, you learn that there's ways to behave, and there's ways that are acceptable behavior and ways that are unacceptable behavior. And there's a number of times I used to tell our children when they were young, that's not the way we do it in our family. Or I would sometimes say it like this, that's not how a Lewis would behave. In other words, we share that there's a way of behavior for our household. And this is not oppressive. This is not saying, oh, you can't be an individual or you can't do it your way. But it's saying there are certain rules and guidelines. There are certain behavior patterns which must be adhered to in order for us to all ultimately please God, but also then have harmony and unity and freedom in our family. And so as our children learn that selfish behavior is not acceptable, violent behavior towards others is not acceptable, greed and lust and anger, these are things that, no, you can't just let them flow. You've got to learn to bring them in under check. And these are things that you must do. You must be showing consideration to others. You must be obeying the rules. You must be working together. You must be showing honor. No, you cannot speak to a person like that. So we do things as a family that reflect the values of our family. And that's exactly what God is talking about here, that he said, God, that in the church, the household of God, there's ways to live. There's ways to do things. He says, I'm writing to you so that you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. I just want you to be aware that being part of the church is being part of a household. And being part of a household means there's ways to conduct ourselves. There's things that we need to do. And Timothy is given instruction by Paul about how to appoint leaders, how to appoint deacons, those that serve. What are the requirements in order to fulfill? That there were certain requirements they might needed to fulfill before they could function in those roles. There was expectations about what was to be done and how the body was to behave. So I just want you to stop and think about that. Hey, I'm part of a church, and that church is a household. In the household, there are values and there are ways of living. There are rules and there are instructions. And for our household to be effective, we need to do that. Maybe you can look at the book of Timothy and read through. Maybe read through that chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and look at some of the different rules that were in the household of God. Maybe this is the last one of the six illustrations we're given for this Grow Team series on the church. I'm sure there's many others that you can think of about illustration examples of the church. Maybe give some thought to that, and when you meet together with your Grow Team, you can share some of the other illustrations or examples of what a church is. God bless you.